I lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. To the Lord which made heaven and earth, and the Lord that keepeth thee will not slumber, will not sleep. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. To the Lord which made heaven and earth, and the Lord that keepeth thee, he will not slumber, he will not sleep. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. To the Lord which made heaven and earth, and the Lord that keepeth thee, he will not slumber, sleep. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Unto the Lord which made heaven and earth, from whence cometh my help. Unto the Lord which made heaven and earth, and the Lord that keepeth thee, he will not slumber, will not sleep. Thank you.
through the hills, from whence cometh my help, unto the Lord which made heaven and earth, and the Lord that keepeth thee, he will not slumber. Lift up my eyes unto the hills. Oh,
Feels good in here today. Appreciate the Spirit of God. God's people here today. And I'd like to announce some visitors. Some for the first time. And it's good to see. Is that Jacqueline? Tanya? D'Angelo? Is that DJ, right? All right, okay. Good to see you guys today. And then Francisco, back here in the back, first-time visitor. Then we have a family here. Is it Brian Dunbar? All right. I believe they're from Australia. Hey, well, just make yourself at home, would you? Just make yourself at home in the kingdom of God. All right. God's good to us, isn't he? I don't know what the Lord has in store for us today, but I'm just thankful to have Brother Smith back home, aren't you? I appreciate having the man of God back home today. Brother Smith, we missed you, but the Lord filled in for you while you were gone, and we've had some wonderful services, had some wonderful things in a Bible study from Brother Durham, Brother Michael Smith, Brother Tally was in charge over the weekends you were gone. Then the Spirit of God came in and assisted us, and my mind is still going back to Wednesday night service. Didn't it end real sweet? Man, that was beautiful. I chewed on that all the week. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. That was a wonderful, sweet service. I thought, Lord, we're blessed to be in such a wonderful place. God has brought us to a wealthy place also. You know that? Yeah, wealthy in the things of God. Maybe not financially, but we're rich in the wonderful things of God, and we keep reaching for more. And I enjoyed that song this morning. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. You know, the angel that watches over us, he's not asleep. I've never caught him taking a nap. Oh, no. But he's always mindful of us, always caring. When I read the Bible, I read that Jesus is a loving and compassionate man. He's merciful. He's been so kind to me. I appreciate his great generosity. Then most of all, I thank him for calling my name one day. I was headed to prison, and he said, come unto me. I appreciate finding a better way of life. I'm high on Jesus this morning. I'm high on my own crack. I'm cracking the word of God. I appreciate God's love and mercy. Yes, I do. Yeah. We sing that song. He's waiting on the hilltop. He's waiting. Yeah, for you and I. Others say, yeah, he's flirting with us too. Yeah. We're the people that have been called by his name, washed in his blood, carried the birth certificate. You ever think about that? There's a law of meditation. Meditate on it sometime. Your name is written in heaven. There's no discharge from this army. I sought for one in my military days, and they finally gave it to me. Get out of here. But there's no discharge from this army, and here's where I want to stay. He that watches over Israel never slumbers and never sleeps. He watches over the little sparrow. What about you and I? Let's trust him today. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. I believe it's in Psalms 15. It asks a question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And there's qualifications. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. I'm getting cleaned up. I'm not totally clean today. But God has given us a chance and opportunity to become clean and pure like him. I'm endeavoring to have a pure heart. These people didn't tell me when I first came to them, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and getting baptized in water, that I had my diploma to heaven. But they set me down and began to teach me the ways of the Lord. That there's progress, there's steps to be made. I'm still enrolled in the class. I haven't graduated yet, but I want to. I want to. I'm glad I made it here. I'm glad God called me here. I'd like to share an experience with you. Brother Smith was talking this morning in the Bible study. Someone called him. He was gone. Go over Revelations 19 with us. But someone called him and asked him a Bible question. And man, that was good. I enjoyed hearing about the steps of salvation again and how we make progress. And God is counting us righteous. Yes, he is. So hear what happened to me as he was talking about that light. After Brother Linegar turned it on, and Sister Linegar seen that dress and said, "My God, Ray, I can't wear that. that's filthy." Woo. Well, I had an experience several years ago before coming to God. And I was about 27 years old, and I thought, I'm going to do something different with my life. I didn't know what the Spirit of God felt like. And some friends of mine had encouraged me, say, "Man, don't let your GI benefits go to waste. Why don't we start the school? They pay you for it and everything." They encouraged me and said they was already going to school. So they got me hooked up, and I went over to Shorter College there in North Little Rock, signed up to go to school, and I was really enjoying it. Yeah, I had plenty of fun. Of course, you know, I was getting high every night going to class. I had to have my medication. I had to have my stash. But they gave me a class in religion. I thought, oh, man, this ought to be good. Textbook work and everything, you know. I can pass this course. Long as it ain't like church. Want nothing to do with church. So after going this class several weeks, I bought the book, Life and Teachings of Jesus. Walked into class one night on cloud nine. I didn't know what was going to happen that night. I'm sitting there watching all the other students talk till the instructor walked in. A lady named Miss Young walks into class. "All right, class, I got something different for you tonight." And she passed out a sheet of paper and said, "I want you all to look over this, and we're going to discuss it." And the picture was really just an old rundown house. Grass growed up, tree limbs fell on the roof, needed a roof replaced. I mean, it was in awful shape. And so I think she began to call names and ask that each student comment on it. And so John Brown, he said something. Joe Blow, he said something. I can't remember what all was said. And she came to a minister, Methodist minister, that happened to be taking this course. And she said, "Reverend Brown, I'd like to hear your comments on it." And he began to describe the picture and how run down and not taken care of it was, is the way some people's lives are. And the more he talked, I began to tremble. He began to talk about Jesus and people's lives, and that affected me. Just looking at that picture, and I thought, I need to get out of here. You know, the bell rung just before I was supposed to say something. I run from it. But one day I came to a people and I heard about my life and I surrendered. I run before. I didn't want nothing to do with that. I run from the Spirit of God. But one day I came here and I heard the voice of God say, "This is it. Amen. And here's where I want to stay. This is what I love. This is my joy. This is my happiness. When I have an illness, when I have a need, I look to the hills of salvation." Oh, yes, I do. I don't call the White House, but I call on Jesus. He gave me his personal number today. So I appreciate God today. Well, I just got up to take prayer request and for the needs of the people, the church here. Let's continue praying for the Tyler Assembly. We had a great loss there. Brother Anderson, Sister Cindy. Yeah, would you get that mic, please?
Her last name used to be Sug, but her name's first name is Connie. Anyway, she had she was exercising, and she had a blood clot dislocate from her leg, and it split up and went into each lung. Mm-hmm. And she passed out, quit breathing. Her husband did CPR on her, and she came out. She came to, and the paramedics got there. They got to the hospital, but they do have her on blood thinners, and to try and get rid of those. But she's still, you know, it's very serious, and a miracle that she did make it through that. But just keep her in your prayers. Also, Sister Gaylor was up all night sick with fever, so she needs prayer too.
Okay, all right. Let's remember those needs. And Brother Shane Keys is having problems with his neck. Let's remember him in prayer. Good to see you, Brother Ron Johnson. We've still been praying for your wife, brother. We still have her on our prayer list and our hearts. And Brian, I'm sorry I missed your friend Cindy, but Cindy, hey, you're welcome too, all right? Make yourself right at home. And Brother Ray Weaver called me this morning and poured out his heart, and he wants the church to know that he loves us, but he's going through a difficult time and really would appreciate our prayers. Sister Radliff, your family, okay? Just remember that need.
Yeah. So. Julie Bailey here.
Sister Julie?
Judy Bailey here from Sister Keys' niece.
Oh, okay. All right, I forgot all about your sister. You sitting there with that smile. I said, she part of us. All right, well, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. You seem happy. Seem like you're enjoying the meal here. All right, get two scoops if you need it. Praise God. Anyone else, sister? Your dad? Okay. All right. Let's remember her dad. All right. Anyone else got a need to? I'm sure. Okay, Sister Linda. Let's remember Brother Ray Valdez. Tomorrow, he has another test. Okay. Pray to God to touch him and strengthen him. Ooh, praise God. You hear that? Wonderful. Right. Okay. Gonna be all right. Get a package deal, Holy Ghost and a healing. All right. That's why I love God. Sister Abraham? Unspoken request. Sister Donna, you had your hand up? Okay, Whit Wilson, all right. God can do it, Sister Durham. Okay, all right, let's remember that request. I see Brooklyn's hand up. All right, we got you. Oh, pray for Sean. Okay. All right. Sister. Sister Lou Fulton. Okay. All right. I know what that can be like. Let's remember her. Sister Joanne. Okay. All right. Let's remember Brother Brad and Zach. Someone else I'm missing. Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead. Your great-grandparents, yes, and their condition. Okay. All right, let's pray for the Gala family. Sister Jacqueline. Remember her in prayer. Your mother? Okay, all right. Your grandson. And we got lots of needs this morning on Sister Rochelle and her family, okay? Yes, Brother Francisco, yes, okay. All right, Sister Wilkins, been praying for you quite a bit. Okay, your grandson, Sister Rice, all right. All right, let's stand then.
Brother Daniels. Sister Jacqueline and her family really has a special need right now.
They do? Okay.
Pray and asking God to help them with. Let's remember that.
Okay. All right, let's stand then. God has brought us to a wonderful place where every need can be met for those that call upon the Lord. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him today. But we behold his wonderful love and care and his mercy this week. Oh, God, for the treasures that he's given us, for the healing power of God. We're thankful, Lord, for your people that have received the wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the doors of salvation are always open to his children. For the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth. He's searching for those that are committed to him. Touch the needs of your people today. For the Tyler Assembly, Lord. For Brother John Kennedy and their families today, dear Lord. Oh, God, you're able to walk with us, oh, Jesus. Help us and allow us to continue to look to the heel of salvation where there's strength to the hill of salvation where there's mercy, oh God, for all that will come to God. We're thankful for this wonderful truth that you've given us, Lord. Touch those that have healing, need a healing in their bodies today, dear Lord. Special needs to be met today. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we cast all of our burdens because he cares for us. We serve a loving and compassionate God today. He's the same today, yesterday, and always. We can always count on God. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Savior. We thank you, dear Lord. Praise our God.
God's love takes good care of me. God's love takes good care of me. When the wind blows and the rains come, the storm is all I see. I'll be safe, for God's love takes care of me.
God's love, it takes good care of me.
all I see. I'll be safe, for God's love takes care of me. Oh yes, God's love, it takes good care of me. God's love takes good care of me. And when the winds blow, the rains come and the storm is all I see, I'll be safe, for God's love takes care of me. Oh yes, God's love, it takes good care of me. And God's love, it takes good care of me. Oh, when the winds blow, the rains come and the storm is all I see, I'll be safe, for God's love takes care of me.
The Lord. Well, it's good to be back home. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today with God's people, and I really appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. His presence and His covering means everything to me. I don't like having church without it. It's important that we sup with Him. We're already taking communion here. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, have no part with me. And we've been drinking of His blood. I know that when Jesus made that statement, most of the crowd got up and left Him. One of the reasons is because it was a law in Israel that you don't eat anything with blood or drink any blood. And here He came saying, except you do that. but they didn't understand that He was talking about the life of God that was in Him, and that we were going to have to be partakers of that, just like He was. That's an interesting topic in the Bible, is the blood sacrifice. And I don't know, it's something I want to talk on in the near future. I even thought I might talk on it today. I don't much think I will, But it is an important subject to understand the difference in Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice. If you remember, Abel offered up a firstling of the flock, and he offered up a blood sacrifice. And Cain brought in, he gave a gift to God too. He was a farmer. He raised crops, and he brought in of his harvest, and offered that up to the Lord. But God rejected that. And I know you know the story, that Cain slew his brother in jealousy and rage because God accepted his sacrifice and not his. And I was dwelling on that on this last trip I was on. I heard a preacher say that the difference in the two sacrifices was the heart. And when he said that, I told Brother Emilio Green was sitting next to me, and this man was actually up talking, just getting the people prepared for me to talk. And Brother Green would be my interpreter in Spanish. And so I told Brother Green, I said, that needs corrected. That's not true. It wasn't their heart that made the difference. You may not even have your heart might not even understand or know exactly, but God puts certain things in place that we've got to learn what God is looking for and what what causes God to save mankind. And it takes a blood sacrifice. Something has to die, and the picture you want to get out of that is that you are going to have to die out to sin in the old Adamic nature and be made new in the nature of Christ. And I was dwelling on that. I have a lot more to say about it, but Cain, I thought to myself, there is many of God's people today that are offering up Cain's sacrifice. They're willing to give God a gift. They're willing to give Him what they want to give Him, but they're not willing to die. They're not willing to go through the death to the old Adamic nature and be made alive and a new man in Christ. You have to see what Christ done and get that applied to your life. That's the picture of the blood being applied to the doorpost of your heart, of your life. And if you get that applied to your life, well, then the death angel will pass over you until God accomplishes what He intends to accomplish in your life. And so, but there's many more things. Why God made it a law that Israel could not drink or eat anything with blood in it. There's answers to all of that. Why God wanted all the blood sacrifices. So I think that's something that needs to be in the understanding of God's people. And I appreciate this song here this morning. God's love will take care of me. I'm glad to be under His covering. This process of entering into God's kingdom. And how'd that song say? The winds may blow and the rains may come, but God, when they come, yeah. Right, and what about the storms? Is all I see, God's love. Well, we have to learn. We have to learn how to be still in the midst of the storm. You got to learn how many times we take it upon ourselves to try to work out our problems when really we need to learn how to trust God. Be still, wait on God. We do a lot of things that, you know, just in wanderings in life and not knowing the will of God. But God wants us to know. He wants us to come to a place of knowing His will and knowing how to work with God in His will. There's a scripture, I believe it came to my mind when we were singing that song in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. I want to mention too here this morning that most of you probably know that our church has been broke into twice this past month. And it's been reported to the police. There's ongoing investigation, and we do know that it's someone that has been in this building. Somebody in this building they call that casing the place, and they've made preparations. And we've got more information on it, and but I'd like for you to pray. I know the Lord. You know, God, when you start messing with God and God's home, God, the house of God, you're fixing to get in big trouble. You may do some things out in the world with man, but when you start dealing with, when you start interfering with God, what God's working on in the world, you're dealing with something that God, the very heart of what God's working on in the whole earth. And so I'm watching the Lord in all of this, and then I'm also searching my heart, searching hearts to wonder why God would allow something like this. The Lord works in a lot of different ways that are marvelous in the eyes of man. But anyway, I just want you to pray with us about it. I've got confidence that it won't continue. If it does, I think that there will be something accomplished. So, and we're taking natural measures that would be wisdom on our part, but and with the authorities. So I just wanted to mention that to you that and ask you to pray. I know you probably have heard about it, and so they stole the nursery TV and the big screen LCD TV downstairs were on the wall that we have Bible study. Well, that's all I'll say right now. But anyway, we're just trusting God and know that He's in control. And this scripture in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall be observed, shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." He goes on telling them about what he put them through. But I just wanted you to notice that God did that. God put them in a wilderness. He took them out of Egypt. That's a picture, by the way, of you and I coming out of the world when we come to God. And we all have a wilderness experience to encounter. We all are in our search for the promised land. We're all looking for a city like Abraham, whose builder and maker was God. But notice what the Lord did. And by the way, it wasn't that great a distance from the Red Sea to Canaan. They could have made that trip in a very short period of time. But God kept them out in the wilderness, circling around for 40 years. They weren't ready to go into the land. They weren't strong enough to handle the ites of the land or to take the land for God. And God first, He sent them into the wilderness, He said, to humble thee. You know, we all need to be humbled. We all need humility. That starts when you first come to faith. Your next step in God is humility. Repent and obey the scriptures that God gives you. The first step of obedience is water baptism. To make that kind of public profession is humbling to the flesh. It's humbling to the mind. Our pride is nothing more than selfishness. You can't be, Brother Leninger taught us that years ago. I never will forget it. He made a statement in the campground years ago. He said, you can't be proud of nothing. So don't ever use the word pride. It's not a word that you ought to be using. It stands for the carnality of the flesh, selfishness. And he taught us, and when he said that, Brother Clyde Patton said, Brother Leninger, we can't be proud of nothing. He said, nothing. There ain't a scripture in the Bible you can find where pride is anything but evil. He said, you can't be proud. You can't be proud of God. You have to be thankful, he said. You have to learn how to be thankful. Pride is the building up and exaltation of the flesh and the carnal mind. Oh, he taught us not to say, well, I'm proud of my children, or I'm proud of my wife, or I'm proud of you. He said, say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God's doing in your life. I'm thankful for how your accomplishments and God's blessings on us. We got to be thankful for that, but we can't be proud. Pride indicates that I am something great, and I am the one that accomplished it, and it wasn't any help from God. And so, I remember when he taught us that. Well, what does the Bible say? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, if you want the grace of God, it takes humbling down. And normally, when you come to God and come to the kingdom of heaven, God, he takes you through a humbling process. I was a Christian, called to the ministry, and I was already in the ministry. I'd been set under a minister for over 10 years in San Antonio, Texas, and the Lord had humbled me some. But when I came among this people, God showed me a better way. God began to show me and open truths up to my heart and my mind that I had not yet received. But God began to, really it was a promotion. That God, but when I got this promotion, God took everything I owned away from me. I lost everything. And it humbled me. But I received teaching like this, that God was working something in my life. I had to learn. Do y'all know Jesus did that? When Jesus was baptized of John, I believe it's in Mark. Is it in Mark? Is that in the first chapter of Mark in the 12th verse? Is that where it is, where it says the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and nights? I'm not sure if that's the exact place where that's at. It's in one of the Gospels. Is that it? And put that up on the screen if you would. I'd just like for y'all to see that God did that. God drove him into the wilderness. The Spirit of God did that. He put Jesus through a trial and a test. Can you find it and get it up there for us? Mark 1:12. It's up there. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. I think some of the other Gospels said it led him. I like to use this scripture because it puts an emphasis that God forced this on Jesus. He forced him into a place where he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was in the was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. So, and one of the things God did is he put him on a fast. No food, no water. Well, y'all remember, he came to a place where he had to say, he remembered this scripture, man shall not live by bread alone. When he was tempted to turn rocks into bread, he had power. See, Jesus, was different than you and I. He was given dominion over everything God has, just like Adam. Adam had dominion over everything God created. And he had power in a paradise condition. I mentioned that in Bible study, that I mentioned the thief on the cross, that he didn't go to heaven when Jesus said, "This day shall thou be with me in paradise." He was talking about the day of the Lord. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't go anywhere that day. He died. He tasted death. But it was talking about, when the Bible talks about it, a day, it's not always a 24-hour day. The day, and we even use that, we'll say, you know, in those days, or in the day in which we're living, that just means this time frame that we're living in. Well, they used words like that back there. And the thief, if you look in Matthew 27:52, it says, let me turn to it, read it to you, because this is an important piece of scripture that many, many people miss. It has to do with the doctrine of resurrections, which I'm not going to talk on today, but it says, and the graves were open. This is when Jesus was hanging on the cross and the veil was rent from top to bottom. And there was an earthquake. And it said the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the city. Didn't say they went to heaven. They went into the city and appeared to many. Well, that thief resurrected right there, he was one of those that resurrected. He wasn't ready to go to heaven. He wasn't. He wasn't even born again. He just was forgiven. Jesus forgave him on the cross, but he resurrected, and I believe he was there on the day of Pentecost and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was baptized, and went on. The church went into a paradise. While I'm explaining that, put up there Joel, the second chapter. I've used this a lot of times, but when I'm explaining it, I always like to put it, because sometimes you'll make statements and people will think, "I don't believe that." You know, and if you don't give them enough scripture to help their faith, they'll reject the Word of God. But in Joel, the second chapter, and in the first verse, it says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." By the way, this is Joel that was prophesying of the coming of the Lord on the day of Pentecost to the Jews in the end of the Jewish world. Remember, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, said, "This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel." Joel's prophetical message was about the coming of the Lord on the day of Pentecost. And Peter said, this is that fulfillment right here, the day of Pentecost. Well, Joel, here in the second chapter, he's saying, "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, Zion. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." There's that day of the Lord I'm talking about. The same day he was talking to the thief about. The day of the Lord lasted 45 years back there. And God visited Israel and gave them a full manifestation, a sevenfold light, a complete understanding of his purpose, and included them in it, and they were perfected. They came to a fullness of Christ. And here Joel's prophesying of it. He said it's nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. In other words, it's going to rain. Do you ever look out when it's so thick and dark in the daytime and The clouds were hanging low. You know it's going to rain. It's fixing to rain. We better get everything in. You don't want to get wet because it's fixing to rain. Well, here he's talking about a spiritual rain, that God's Spirit's fixing to be poured out on the earth. And he said, a people, a great people, and a strong. There hath not been ever the like. There's never been a people, Joel was saying, like the people in the end of the Jewish world when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new covenant came into being and the New Testament church was inaugurated. There's never been a people like this people on the face of the earth. Strong people, a great people. And he said, there never hath been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Thank God he added that part. There hasn't been another people like the early church since it fell away. When the Gentiles received the message of the New Testament, it had to come down on a much lower primitive level in the minds of heathens and idolaters, and it took time. It's taken, here we are in 2010. Well, it was AD 33 or 33 and a half on the day of Pentecost came to the world, and so we still got a few years to AD 33 or 2033 for another 2,000 year world to wrap up. But we're right down here in the end of it. And the Lord is coming. But he's first, understand this about the coming of the Lord, he's first coming to the church. He's first going to come and gather his people together in one body. And he will manifest himself to them and another strong, great people. Just like the New Testament church will come up in the end of this world. And God will accomplish what he accomplished. He made up a part of the bride in the end of the Jewish world, and there's another harvest that's coming in the end of this world. If you look in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelations, I didn't get up here to talk on all this, but I'm going down this line, so I don't want to leave things out. In the 14th verse of Revelation 14, and this is talking about the end of the Gentile world, not the end of the Jewish world. John, the apostle John, was prophesying of the future after the Jewish world, after AD 70. He wrote this in about AD 90, AD 95. And so the Israel had been judged for rejecting Jesus, and God saved a remnant out of that. And there won't be another, the Jews will be added back in the end of this world. God will graft the Jewish people back in. There's been the parable in Luke where of the rich man and Lazarus. That's a parable. And it's talking about how that the rich man died and went to hell. That's a hellish condition that the Jews went into for rejecting the plan of God and rejecting Christ as their Messiah. And Lazarus is a picture of the Gentiles that went into, it said Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. And that's the covenant. The Gentiles were